That's a different
Sure, collective. You're a collective,
okay.
Right?
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. You're saying the programming collective.
Right.
Okay. I was talking about the community collective.
Okay, that's volunteers.
Which is the community subcommittees.
No, they're not a volunteer organization.
They represent all the great rights organizations or whatever.
Oh, okay, but then aren't they at large organizations?
They're at large. They're not.
They're under the lab. They're committees, subcommittees of the community needs assessment that focus on programming but with integration by, and programming has been going through them. But they assess the community needs.
Okay. You've already formed some of these?
Yeah, we're having them going. Yeah. They're the ones who've been recommended.
Column committee. I think you need to call them.
Right now, they're called subcommittees of the community needs assessment.
Yeah, okay.
Latino subcommittee.
Okay.
And so the African collective, the youth collective.
Okay. Well, they call them.
Many of the
subcommittees.
Yeah.
Subcommittees of the community needs.
Well, actually, I think the point of clarification, there are some collectives then that don't actually know their subcommittees of the lab. You take the Asian collective that Su Hin Lee, I think, has been working on. He's totally unaware. I think it's kind of not exactly reality to identify them simply as subcommittees of the community leads assessment, because I would like to ask Sherna, have you considered your collective?
No, we consider our collective unpaid.
May I make a comment here?
I mean, we're unpaid programmers.
What are you referring to, the collectives?
No, we used to call our things collectives, which is what the Asian collective is and stuff. But then there was too much confusion because, for example, with the group that they're working in, their whole collective became a programming collective, just like the Enfoque Latino programming collective. Mm-hmm. You know, they're already, and that means that what they do is they produce a program. These other collectives come out of community needs. They're specifically to analyze the needs of the community in relation to programming. That
and
is
they know
what
that?
Needs are.
Are
they don't all know that. Some have sprung up all over the place. But let's say Cal State LA's collective, right? So Leon was involved in professors at Cal State LA. We never see them. But they did come in and have a meeting with the lab chair and the station manager. And yes, so if he wants that collective, then it should go. It's just a matter of cutting bases, not a matter of
Lydia,
the lab.
Lydia, don't they really fall in the? We instead of calling it at large, it is the same concept.
No, it isn't.
Okay.
May I make a suggestion here? Because I'm starting to agree with Don that this is going to be interminable.
Look at it. We're almost done.
We haven't begun to decide on it yet, is my concern.
No, but we see where there's some agreements. And
what I would like to suggest at this point is if we can agree on the key remaining issues, I will put together a grid and bring it to the next meeting.
This is the second time we've done this.
I have to work at 9:00 in the morning.
A lot of us
okay,
do.
Then we're just doing this and then getting some input and then we're going to go to vote. Do you have a point of clarification on what's up there right now?
Yes, I do. What is it? Absolutely. That is that I just resubmitted a proposal that I had withdrawn and the structure of it.
We'll go and slap the numbers up there.
Well, it doesn't quite work that way because the structure of it is very different. The structure of it has an internal body to the station and an external body that is a lab community thing. And on the internal body, there's a staff presence and a management presence. On the external body, there's a lab and listener presence. And it doesn't fit the grid. It breaks the mold. It's outside the box.
Well, as we discussed it, twice we have voted that the program council is going to be a part of the lab. That is not in sync with the unity proposal that everybody is trying to hold myself and Dave to. So
well, neither is, then if you want to knock it off, knock off Cerna's, because Cerna's is also not in concert with the unity proposal.
So it's with the lab. What I take to national, don't expect me to take this to national.
No, this is just for our internal working now, right?
Do we want to incorporate Raphael? We had already decided to do the lab. We already voted on it twice. Yeah.
No, there's not a contradiction. Okay? There's a committee inside the station, and there's a program council outside the station. It's a different matter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, does someone, does it
fill in your numbers?
Yeah.
No, this is it. You're talking about a different group.
Yeah, because there's two groups.
I move to stick to what we are and to, and not to
have
a second. No, it just doesn't fit the piece of paper. That's all.
Right, the basic structure's different.
May I speak to that? In which case, we could not move forward.
There is a program policy committee which is akin to a programming council or committee.
Okay, Sarah?
There's a whole structure.
Mayor?
Yes. If there is going to be some sort of a committee within the station, we would run into the same problem that we have been having so far. And that's why we've multiple times voted on it, that it should be a subcommittee of the lab, because that brings in the management, and that you're trying to put the management and staff together. And
have you read the proposal?
No, but that's what you're saying, because it doesn't fit the grid. I saw it on the thing.
Why does it have to fit the grid?
They just voted.
Sarah, finish.
If we separate it in two entities, within and without the station, it's not going to play the role that it is supposed to play. This is the way it seems to me.
We can debate that.
But right now we have voted as a subcommittee. We need to have some sort of an interim period, and then we could debate that. But if we put this off constantly, I think we are not helping the situation that is ongoing within the station, the problems that we are having, the problems that I, as a listener, have been having when I turn on the radio one morning, one show is taken off, announced, and then the next day is put back on, and nobody knows for why. I think we need to create some sort of a body that could respond to that meanwhile, and that's why we've gone ahead with this process. So I feel like we need to continue and try to create something in accordance to what we have, and also continue discussions and give it the 120 days that we have been talking about.
Well, Barry, if I may, I think that the most important thing that can happen is to set up a system that creates dialogue in a situation where communication is completely broken down.
This is the sense of the lab, so will the lab members
can
vote?
Can I comment on this? It profiles, this is your point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It involves the same players. So for the purpose of this discussion, you put how many of those players are involved in yours, knowing that it is set up differently. It's not all one body, it's two bodies, but it's still the same players. So in that way, it can...
We would have to determine right now that what he is proposing is not what we're putting up there.
No, but she's suggesting that.
In his proposal, what he got up there is really this thing.
Right.
This part down here.
Right. What I would like to suggest is that we put the lab and the listeners up there for Raphael's suggestion and note that volunteers and staff are elsewhere on another committee. That we make that note on the grid. So that we're indicating we're not leaving them out, we're putting them somewhere else, but they are part of the process. They're just outside of this committee.
Okay, now in the numbers.
Six listeners, six lab, is that correct?
Six listeners, six lab, and...
and the PD, and the GM.
As ex officio.
And our ex officio.
And news director also, or no?
No, that's inside.
Can you speak louder over?
So
we're
combining
them.
Two.
Yeah.
GM,
PD, non-voting.
Did you send me your email?
No.
Could we put the other?
No, not news director.
The news director's elsewhere.
I didn't
get
news director.
She is. Okay, now under staff and volunteers, put elsewhere or other committees.
Can you put the numbers in parentheses then? It's volunteers, it's X number, and put it in parentheses to note that it's not in the same.
I put elsewhere here in orange letters, but I'll put it in
parentheses. But we can't see the orange.
How many is it?
What's the count?
I don't know.
The number of staff and the number of management
staff
on the internal committee is three.
Three staff?
Oh, actually, two paid staff, one volunteer staff.
Right.
Okay,
and then
so
okay.
Two and one. It's two paid staff, one volunteer.
Just
put it
in
here and then one here.
That the volunteers and unpaid staff are distinct groups.
So are they?
Yeah. That's what
okay, then there's three staff.
But they are defined in the bottom.
Three paid and three staff paid unpaid.
Three staff paid unpaid.
2/1.
Right.
Right.
No volunteers.
In parentheses.
Mine is no volunteers either.
But in under GMPD MD, can you squeeze in parentheses 3?
Did you read this thing?
Actually, elsewhere.
They serve on both committees.
Yeah, they're not actually elsewhere.
That's what I'm saying. Put in parentheses.
But they're voting on the other committee. On the other committee, Raphael, they vote on the other committee.
Right.
And on this committee, they're not voting.
That results.
GM on PDR 3,
there
are two.
And news directors. On the other one.
So then, Sherna, those who refer to the collectives as programming collectives,
that would be under the
unpaid staff are in collectives, so that's where you've lost.
No, there's unpaid staff, but it includes people from the collectives. Can I just make a comment about this? If people have been seeing the traffic, in the Unity proposal, and in much of the traffic, most of those who've been speaking to it have opposed staff being on the programming council or the programming committee. I also think there's a conflict of interest. And in the interest of peace, however, while we try and work this out as an interim solution, I am suggesting 3 staff, but a very different voting process. Because, and so the voting process is really an integral part of this. Because I do not feel that any of the staff paid or unpaid should be the exclusive voters for that slot. So
are we debating the merits of
now
the
I'm trying to clarify
or?
Because Dave, it depends on the voting process if I have those 3 people in there or not. In mind. Okay? But
okay, so
I have
to, in other words, her 3 people is contingent on whether the staff vote for their own representatives or whether
or
it is
everybody
voted
votes.
On by everyone.
Including the staff.
Including the staff.
Nominated
and
by
the staff
everybody,
the staff and all the listeners.
All the listeners, not just the members of the committee,
no,
other than
all
staff.
All the listeners, the staff nominates and everybody votes.
I thought you told me when I came in that you agreed that
this
wasn't a valid process.
That one used to have 2 representatives from those subcommittee community needs representatives for all of them. So if there were 15, of those subcommittees, shall we say, then they would only have 2 representatives. That was objected to by a lot of the listeners, certainly by me. I think that each of those collectives should have 1 representative.
If they provide a proposal, then this group decides on that proposal.
That's a conflict of interest, then, if they're on it.
Yeah,
he doesn't want them on it.
The collectives provide proposals for station programs.
Then it becomes a conflict.
This group decides whether that program shows.
I agree with that, Ed. I think you're right.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the way it should be.
No, they provide, let's say if it's the, because that's the one I'm involved with, the Latino Collective, okay? They are providing and saying programs that come either directly through them or come to the station or whatever. It meets the needs of, let's say, immigrant rights that are in that collective, of the 3 organizations represented in that collective because it's not being represented enough. And yes, that show does meet that, or no, that show is too narrow for that. That's the kind of community needs input that you're
that's
getting
the
from
same
that.
Function of the program.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
One
right.
has to subsume
yeah.
from the other.
Yeah, he's
which
right.
one is correct?
He's right.
This group has to suggest to that group, and then that group has to make the decision.
I agree.
So this group
proposes, and the other
proposes to that group. This group makes the decision.
Mm-hmm. No, each but of those entities are giving input.
Can I make a point here? You know, what you're actually now discussing are different attributes of different proposals.
Yeah.
And I think that's good, really. And I don't think you can just immediately put a grid together. If you want to put a grid together, that's fine. As long as all of these different proposals, you know, just because Raphael's proposal doesn't fit in that grid structure, it doesn't mean it can't be part, you know, an addendum to the grid. I just want to make a point about that. But second of all, this discussions are good, and they should continue. Maybe not necessarily completed tonight, but that's just what I wanted to say, is that there's two things here, just putting grid together and then actually talking about all these things.
If I could just make a comment.
Now
I
it is getting too late.
It is getting late.
Now that we have, like, outside and inside committee, it's killed it.
Yeah, well, yeah, in a way that's true. But I just would like to caution against entities in the programming committee that can be seen as advocates for a narrow interest. It seems to me that it is not appropriate to have on the program committee a collective that's producing mm-hmm. programming.
Right. Amen.
Because clearly what they would be, now let me just finish, clearly what they would be doing is motivating, and that would be natural and understandable. So if we're looking for input from Latinos, immigrants, and so on, you would look for people who could represent their constituency who don't already have a vested interest.
Yes.
Because I happen to know a couple of the collectives, and they're tenacious, and they of mm-hmm. course are interested in their own airtime and so on. So I would argue that we really need to avoid stacking this with any advocacy group that has a specific advocacy. The second thing I would say, I just want to make my point clear, is around the listeners choosing representatives from the staff, I oppose that. Partly because, for many reasons, but let's say a well-known name is on-air talent.
Oh, I'm sorry. I need to clarify. Oh. That was in the Unity proposal. It is no on-air host.
Oh.
No on-air programming.
Well, anyway, this is a place where I diverse.
But that's the problem, is that this is going in and out of Unity, including the people that worked on the Unity.
Well, I believe that if we're having seats for staff gets to choose their seats.
But why is that different from the collective programmers? It's the same thing. It's the same conflict.
No, I do not see it. I mean, it's a debate we could have, but I see them as two different issues.
Okay, this is deteriorating. It's not going to get resolved. I'd like to make it.
Can I suggest, though, that we actually at least have a almost agreement on the listeners? If we combine the at large and listeners as six, that basically all of those things have the number six?
No, they don't. There's 12 in Raphael's.
Yeah.
But that's
six
different
levels. I would like to make a motion at this time.
Divisible by six? Can we agree on that?
I would like to put forward a motion, given the lateness of the hour, that we revisit my original suggestion that we approve the points of the Unity model that we've agreed on, and that I go home and put the remaining issues on a grid, because I only have to write the midterm. I don't have to take it.
Are you
writing Raphael's midterm by any chance?
Bringing them back to the group. That we approve what we've done so far as far as the Unity model. Okay. And the outstanding issues that I take.
What
it
do you mean that we approve
what? Items 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
let's have input
and 1, 2, 3.
Or
1.
Lydia,
yes.
I'd like to ask you about these collectives. Are you talking about having one person from each collective, or one person from all the collectives combined? And if we've got 10 collectives now, and then all of a sudden 10 more collectives combine, does that mean 10 more people come in?
We'd have to define what constitutes a collective. Two people don't constitute a collective. You have to have that discussion. But like peace and diversity.
No, that wasn't a question. The collective of the community needs assessment committee.
The
question is, can the rest of the constituencies be overwhelmed by collective?
Let me just go to adhere to their
listeners,
may I suggest that we give till 10:30? Can I, Leslie? I know you have a motion on the floor.
We also have a bunch of listener comments.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Wait. What I want to say is, may I suggest we have this grid right here. No votes. However, we give to listeners till 10:30 the next 20 minutes. They make comments and we just listen. And then take notes. And we have this grid and we'll put it on. And then go try to come with a more conclusive, more realistic model. In addition to what Leslie recommended, and you forget the whereases, right?
Yeah.
Dump all that. Okay, go from 1 to 6 and then 1 to...
One.
No, because 2 and 3 were
moved.
No,
yeah,
just one.
Voting on this, we haven't looked at
okay.
Together.
Are we all in agreement with that?
Which just up to here. Yeah,
we all agreed on 1 to 6.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what that other proposal or something.
And the grid.
That's the same everywhere.
No,
I have you. I've got you for the grid. For the Strava. You're taking.
Just for Strava. Okay.
So what does
get you engaged?
So we can show
the
rest.
Okay, let's hear comments.
Sorry.
Where's the list?
No more.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Jordan is up first with listener comments, then Myla, Raphael, Christopher, Fernando, Lloyd, John, Bernie, Jonathan, Harrison, Lerner, Ed, Tracy, Bella, Carl, Jerry, David, Adelson, Harvey, Dan, Louise, and Smitty, in that order, beginning with Sherna.
Very quickly.
Check my name.
My concern is the issue of conflict of interest, and I just want to relate a conversation that occurred in our collective last night. I don't believe that any of us, for instance, should be part of this, because it is a conflict of interest. One of the members of our collective, who's been a longtime programmer, said it would be very difficult. By the same token, I do not think that the staff can avoid that, which is why I, and if many of you know, that in the Unity proposal, there is no staff. To me, the compromise was I was going to withdraw this totally after all the emails about why staff shouldn't be on, but what a compromise I felt was that the staff nominate the staff, but that everybody vote, and the staff vote for these other listeners, the staff vote for the lab members, and everybody also votes for the staff members. It's a way for us to engage with the staff, but the staff is not doing it as a special interest group anymore than a member of a programming collective would be doing it the same way. Mm-hmm. That was my logic.
So,
next.
Myla.
Myla's not here.
Then we have Raphael.
Next. I'm sorry. Myla's next.
Raphael. Myla's not here.
Okay. My proposal is structured very differently. There's a reason for that. I agree with most of the listening community. And as a former program director, I will say that I know from firsthand experience that there is a conflict of interest with staff and programmers, programming staff in particular, voting on program policy and on whether a program should be removed or retained. That's a very difficult passage because obviously the staff wants input on those questions. And I think there's a legitimate place for the staff to have input on those questions, but not voting power, to be honest with you. In my model, there are two different bodies. One is a committee inside the station in which there are three elected staff members who operate with three management people to advise the program director. Okay? The program director has the power to decide. However, if a two-thirds majority of that committee chooses to challenge the program director's decision, they can then cause that decision to go to the lab program council. The lab program council then votes on that and sends it to the whole lab. And if the whole lab, if everybody along the line decides to override that decision, it's overridden. But it's completely accountable. It goes through the process of being checked by every single constituency for its viability in terms of the mission. Staff gets a voice, but it, frankly, for those of you who are looking at it, the staff doesn't exactly get a vote except to have a vote to refer something to a program council, which could make a decision that the lab could enforce. At least it involves everything, and it creates some mechanisms for dialogue.
Next up is Christopher.
Christopher.
Fernando.
Christopher said a note. He's going to email his comments tomorrow.
Thank you. Fernando?
Okay.
Lloyd.
Not here.
He's on the list.
Saturday. Hang on.
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
John.
Which John?
John Weiner.
I basically would echo the notion the staff should have a tremendous voice, but not a vote, because of the conflict of interest. If you give them lots of voice, then they become like lobbyists. It may be the lobbyists in the real Congress get more successes than the senators do with the congressmen. Lobbyists are very successful, and you don't need to vote. You have the access, you have the influence, that's what you need. The other comment is, going back to the notion of experiments, I would suggest you turn over, you vary this process as quickly as makes sense. You keep copious notes so you have lessons learned, and you evolve this process as quickly as you can. So there should be a real strong effort to document it, to get the lessons learned, and everybody should give input. And there shouldn't be a majority thing. It should, everybody, pick all the comments they want, no exclusionary thing, and then you have a body of evidence that accumulates, and after all, you have a damn good system.
Okay, Bernie's not here either, I believe. How about Jonathan?
I wanted to sort of support what Raphael said. I think that this structure, if you take the time to read it and look at the flowchart, but especially read the first introduction paragraphs, it really does give, it creates a process, a legitimate process, which I think has not been clearly established ever at any of the Pacific stations, for staff to address programming decisions, programming changes before and after. In other words, it gives within the station a review process similar to what a programming committee or a programming council, in this case, in this proposal, the programming committee is a part of the station board, or what is called the program policy committee in this proposal. The station committee is called a program administrative committee in the sense that the station, of course, is administering the program policy, it's doing the program. So I think that it would be a really, it would create a very healthy structure, because the staff and people at the station, as well as management, would be able to, if they wouldn't only have to be dependent upon the station board to facilitate the process of dialogue within the station. I think this is an extremely important thing and something that's unique about this proposal, and that's why I'm hoping it's included in the discussions from this point on.
Harrison.
I want to go back to Lou Hill, and I want to remind us all that he gave us a wonderful gift when he told us that people that were on the air should be allowed to say exactly what they think, and there should be no control over what the people on the air say. I'd like to also suggest that he made a terrible mistake when he gave the programmers the right to decide who was going to be on the air. I think that is a structural problem which has plagued Pacifica for a very long time, that many of the conflicts have been seen as personality problems when they weren't. That it is the conflict of interest. When we ask someone to make an impartial judgment about who should be on the air when they and their friends are on the air at that time, it sets up a system where it's very difficult for there to be programming changes, where it's very difficult for minority opinions to get a time on the air. And I would like to ask the staff to make a very big sacrifice, to consider the fact that they need to give up that power, and that if they are able to do so, that the listeners not just the ones like myself that are willing to come at moments like this, but everyone, the many inspired people that don't have as much time as I do to come to these meetings, will be able to make contributions if they have a real say in programs, and that will give great vibrancy to our station, and will end up being a source of financial and intellectual development for everyone.
Okay,
Lardy. I'll ditto the comments on non-voting staff. It seems that as having this as part of the lab, we need to separate this programming council from the lab as much as possible so we can separate the problems and they don't get all tangled in the spaghetti mess. So that's my advice, to keep these two bodies as separate as possible. And having been on the programming council for 2 years, and for 1 year, one of those years being the chair of the lab, I would volunteer to help as much as possible with this process.
Ed?
I have a proposal for having an election for this temporary programming council. And also in the back, I pass it out Friday, Saturday for everybody, and everybody should have it in their packet. I have extra copies if necessary.
I have extra copies too.
Is that it?
No. The only way to fairly quickly and have a fair election for program council seats without incurring the $10,000 cost of mailings to all KPFK subscribers is to announce during the fund drive at a convention where the program council rules will be adopted and candidates for seats will be debated, will be held in October, after which elected by mailed-in ballots will begin. Ballots with candidate abstracts will be posted on the web for printout mail-in and also distributed to at least 10 places throughout the Southern California counties, Santa Barbara, Barstow, etc., allowing subscribers to pick up these ballots locally. And an announcement shall be made that at least 500 legal return ballots are needed to validate this election procedure. Only then can real fairness and inclusion be guaranteed in any selection of program council candidates. And I also, on the back, made a bunch of rules, 10 different rules, for the KPFK temporary program council balloting. And I won't go through the whole 10. But basically, these are the rules, and maybe some need to be added for this specific election for a temporary program council.
I need to speak to you about this.
I want to thank Ed for doing this personally, and I want to turn it over to Tracy.
I had a chance to read Raphael's entire proposal, but it sounds good from the way that you described it. And as Harrison said, the problems between the staff and the general manager and the listeners is a problem of structure. It doesn't have to be personalities, and there are power struggles that have gone on throughout the years. What we need is a structure that works, where the removal of any allusion to a conflict of interest, and where people are able to operate secretly because they have some friends or alliances, and they're able to get power and their voice on the air or their friend's voice on the air. That needs to all be brought out into the open, and I just think it's wonderful that we're having a program council, however we do it, as long as there's no conflict of interest. The cross check that you seem to have written into it sounds good to some extent.
Is Bella
not personality?
Is Bella still here?
No.
Let's call her.
Okay, I haven't had time to look at Raphael's proposals. It's the first I've seen of it. Looks pretty interesting, but I can't comment now. I haven't had time to look at it, sorry. It looks really good. I mean, just look at it later. But non-programming, unpaid staff, I believe the staff component should be limited to people who don't have their own programs, and possibly also to those who are not paid. That will reduce the conflict of interest sufficiently that I think staff could participate without grinding everything in the review process and the change process to a halt. Regarding the collectives, I don't think that there's a similar remedy available for the collectives. I don't agree with the participation of the collectives, and it really concerns me that the number of people from the collectives is exactly one for each collective, and as the collectives grow, that number would grow. But more fundamental is that they have a conflict of interest, and I agree with Ed that the collectives should definitely be able to propose new programs, and then the rest of the body should be involved in disposing. Subcommittees of the community needs assessment, though, are a different matter since they're specifically set up to review programs and are not involved themselves in programming. I think that they could have a significant role to play in this body. I believe it's wrong for you to have staff who are elected by listeners. That is misleading. If the staff is going to have representatives, they have to be able to elect their own representatives. So I agree with Don White on that. And I believe the staff should be represented on this as long as we don't have people who have their own programs on.
And unpaid, is that what you qualified it?
Unpaid is an area where I'm not certain. I think it would solve most of the conflict of interest if they were unpaid and didn't have their own programs. Mm-hmm. But of those two, most important is not having your own program. That's what I think.
Okay, Jerry's up next.
Yeah, it seems clear to me it seems to be a developing consensus that staff should not have voting privileges in the collective. I disagree. I disagree sharply, not just for staff but also for collectives, simply because I fully agree that if staff were to be running rampant and represented the majority of input on these voting collectives, that would be a huge problem, and that would be a massive conflict of interest. However, staff voting on it as part of some small portion of the total number of votes, whether staff be 5% or 10% or 15%, no one is here with hands clean. We all have an interest in the station. We all have an interest in what goes on. And if staff were representing just 5 or 10 or 15% of the votes, that any conflict of interest or staff position and views are moderated by the limited number of votes that they have. Mm-hmm. And what I think it presents a scenario where you get the best of both worlds, where staff can participate, but in a sense that is moderated so greatly that there is no way that staff has default, de facto, or veto control over the will of the rest of the voting group. And I think it's also important that the collectives, that their positions be considered, and that they run in an advisory capacity, because if they run in a way that's functional and healthy, they'll be giving us information we will not be able to get elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So
you're saying non-voting when you say advisory capacity for collectives?
Potentially, yes. Potentially voting or potentially non. I think both are fine.
I've got Dave
Adelson
up next.
One thing, people keep talking about staff as though staff have controlled programming. Staff have never controlled programming in the 7 years I've been involved, but the program director has. Staff has never got to say this show's on, this show's off. They've never had a vote in it, never. Okay, it's all...
Not in the 7 years that I've been involved.
Right. The program director has decided it. So let's just be clear about that. I agree with Jerry that there is, people have friends. Everybody who comes to this, everybody who comes for a reason, because there was something that attracted them. And they're an advocate for whatever it was that attracted them. I think part of the problem is that I don't think we've had a deep enough discussion about the kinds of decisions that would be made by any given body. I hear people mixing decisions about, policy, and as an example of a policy statement, do we have magazine format shows or issue specific shows in drive time? That's a policy issue. Then there's a question of, well, who's represented? What kind of programming? Is that really the same kind of decision? Does it run through in the same way? Does it get put through in the same way? And I think if we were to break down the kinds of decisions that got made, there would be a way to see where there's clearly conflict of interest versus where we really want everybody's input. And I think the strength of the search committees that have happened has been working with people across lines of rank as equals, that is doing something to bind the community together. And I don't like the idea of, these people are going to act in a greedy way and therefore should have to be kept at the door. There will be conflict of interest situations. That issue should get addressed. But I, largely don't think we've even had a deep enough discussion overall about what kind of station and involvement we want from people, and I would look forward to that happening. I just want to make one quick point, which is I'm very glad it's a subcommittee of the lab, because it means that what every program council that I heard about in other places that worked had in common will be true of this, namely, as a subcommittee, as a committee of the lab, all its meetings will be open to the public, and that is very helpful.
Okay, I'd like to reiterate that the bylaws IPMB meeting be live, and I'd like to say that it was a good idea. Reason being is in one of those discussions that Eva George is so aptly aired, was on top of it by bringing that out. That would give the listener opportunities, but I'm not doing too good on explaining that, so I'm going to this. I put up, every lab member has something that I proposed. I guess it's kind of fair too, but something that I proposed, I'm going to read the motion. I would like for the lab members to, if possible, vote on this motion. And I gave you a copy of this, so, and I'm going to read it. And the motion goes like this. Yes on a motion to begin at the next schedule, which is the 22nd, KPFK fundraiser process to have packets of 100 flyer leaflets as a premium, with premiums for as a premium, and with premiums for listener sponsors. And it can be something like this. It doesn't have to be something like this. Huh?
Can't see it.
Oh.
He simply wants to make sure that people give flyers about KPFK so that they know what's happening. That this station is doing good stuff. Right?
Yeah, that would be
like we should have had the other day.
Yes. Every piece, maybe you could go and hand them out. Every local.
So I mean, can that be voted on tonight, or? Yes.
We'll put it on the agenda for next time.
I mean, well, it would be too late for next time.
It's never too late.
No, I mean, this is for the next fundraiser. I mean,
you don't have
No, what we can do is just give it to Eva Georgia or any one of us.
Can I answer something just very, very quickly? It's Monochrome is running a special this month of 5,000 four-color flyers for $150. So if we decide to do something for the program, which is about one-third the price of what it should normally cost. Mm-hmm. So there's a printer that's having great special this month. If we decide to do it, it would be relatively cheap.
Can we take
Sorry to interrupt.
Can we submit this, like, at the staff meeting or something? Or when you have your programming meetings on the fund drive?
I don't see why not. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It shouldn't be your own money.
Yes.
What about mailing charges?
Okay. So he has the info on it. That seems feasible.
It goes out with a premium.
That could be an internal discussion.
Okay,
Dan's
up next.
Sure, I want to speak to the two issues if I have no chance. First, on the conflict of interest. Of course, there's an interest amongst staff, especially staff who are involved with public affairs producing, such as myself. I don't see it as a conflict of interest, though. I see it as an interest, and I would ask you to consider it can't be as much of a conflict or interest that the program director and the GM have who put these people on there in the first place. I produce what's in front of me. I don't decide who gets on the air. So obviously I have people I like, you know, I think are the best people I don't. But the conflict of interest, I think, is most severe with someone who's in everybody's proposal, I think has to be, and that's the GM and the PD. And as I think Jerry said, you know, it looks like paid staff would be 2 of 15 people or something like that. I seriously doubt that contingent would dominate control of this discussion. And maybe if you will always believe it's a conflict of interest, you can accept that. 1 in 7.5, you know, members of the staff have a conflict of interest. Why? Because there's stuff we have just because we're lucky enough to have these jobs that we see day in, day out, right? So on many occasions, I think just by being at the station, we could tell you, like, who works hard, who doesn't, who appreciates their listeners and will call back people when they email or call on the phone. And that's all stuff that's not we're not, you know, we know that because we're there. It's not because we're better or worse. We're in a unique position. We're there day in, day out. This is what we get paid to do. I see stuff like that all the time. I'll be honest about that, I hope. And so I think that's very important. On the second point I wanted to address is the need to get this program council started in some fashion. Anyway, why that's relevant to me is I would reference Dan Coughlin's email he put out this Saturday, and point two, and it says, with quote, with input and comment from the program council, KPFB management will outline its programming vision objectives for the station. Something that's never happened while I've been here. In the meantime, no major programming decisions will be made. No major programming decision will be made except any change that may result in breaking news and public affairs special. Well, we just put in a new national show at 4 p.m. Everybody thinks that's a good idea that we have a national show. There's disagreement on where it should be. But in addition to that, several changes have been made over the last month or so. And I would submit to you that these changes are being made in a much less consensus way, democratic way, than, frankly, Stephen Starr went about making some of these decisions, too. And it has me very worried. In essence, I'm just, it's being announced to me that changes are being made, not just to this 4 o'clock lineup, but now to the 5 o'clock lineup. Some people I used to produce 4 and 3 are going to maybe move to 1 and 2 or not be around. You know, and you might hate these people, you might love these people, but it's 5 or 6 programmers who are affected. And I don't think that's the way we ought to be doing business. And I think it might be a lost battle, but I would hope, sorry, I know my time's up, that we would think about this latest batch of decisions and hopefully have this decision to get a program council in applied to this latest batch of decisions that would make it slightly retroactive ex facto. But I suggest that, and may I say that, you'll have a real test case right off the bat, and we'll see how well this baby will fly.
Coughlin's memo doesn't
okay,
mention
next
the program
up
council.
Is Louisa said there's a freeze.
No, it doesn't say that.
No, not
the second thing I cited was Dave Hershig's proposal to the KPFK lab from Dan Coughlin, re-KPFK transitional program.
Yeah, no, what it says is.
Excuse me, it's my turn.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You've got Louisa?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to echo some of the comments that they made, trying to do a little bit differently and technically. I believe in workplace democracy, participatory democracy, so I believe staff should have a vote, a representative vote, not a controlling vote. And in terms of the collectives, I think we lost the distinction. There's programmers' collectives that produce shows. Those would clearly be a conflict of interest. I'm unclear. I think maybe possibly they should also have a voice in voting on that conference. But definitely the collectives that represent the community needs assessment, like the Chicano Mexicano collective, I don't use Latino because I believe that refers to Italy. That is a collective of people that want to create input into ideas for programming, and programmers are part of those collectives sometimes, but they're just part of the collectives. They don't control those collectives. And they also have their own programming collectives, and they can independently give ideas for programs as well. So I'm in favor of having community collectives give input into the program. Thank you.
And Gordon.
Hi. I really am in favor of what Dan said in terms of getting this program council up as quickly as possible. And I'm also would be in favor, and I think a lot of people might be in favor of that, of getting it up. I wouldn't object to any of them as long as there's a provision that there is a 1-year review so we can see where the glitches are and kind of like go after those.
Sooner.
120 days. All right, 120
days. Okay. 120 days.
See where the glitches are. You know.
Great.
I did just want to add that. Some of the comments when the Unity proposal was brought up when we had the 3-day convention, it wasn't just conflict of interest was not the only issue. Some of the committees and the reason they came up with that is they saw it as disproportionate, and I think that Rob and others had commented on that. Just in relation to the representation of 17,000 subscribers plus listeners, in relation to the representation they have versus staff having, if it was proposed at national 25% or whatever, was clearly way out of proportion, and that was the basis for having issued on the Unity proposal.
I just want to make a comment because Paul, Dan Coughlin did put a freeze on changes of programming until we put that.
I was incorrect. I was incorrect about that.
Frankly, I don't know if he can.
No, but what we asked for is. And finally, may I say, I still have a motion pending.
It hasn't been seconded.
It was
seconded. It was seconded, yeah. The motion was to approve the first five, I believe, the points of unity and charge. The first one of the unity proposals, remedies, and that I would grid the rest. And if you don't vote this quickly, I'm going to withdraw this motion. So, I will withdraw my offer to grid this if we don't get consensus on it quickly. Because
on what?
We didn't vote.
We didn't vote.
There was no vote on it.
It was second that we didn't vote.
There was no vote on the group. The one through six.
One through six.
Okay,
We're voting on one through six plus one out of the KPFK unity proposal plus me gridding the rest of this.
And qualifying sure knows.
Are you in agreement?
You said one through six, right?
Under charge plus one under remedy.
And three?
No,
they're not doing the
interim committee.
If right there, that should be.
A call for a vote. Those in favor, please raise your hand.
Thank you.
Everybody has a copy of that memo.
We can't get anything set up. When will anything get set up?
Maybe.
What is our next meeting, Lydia?
Both the airport and the airport.